combine business.
My business.
With pleasure.
Damn, that sounds sexy.
No funny business, no conversation.
And now, back to America's business coach, Coach Ron Tunick.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Bill Frank. I'm sitting in for Coach Ron Tunick, who's over in Las Vegas delivering a speech to hundreds, if not thousands, of paying listeners there who want to tap into some of his expertise in coaching, his expertise in salesmanship, and his experience as a business person. Coach will be back on Thursday, so don't fear. He will be back on the air. He's just away for today and tomorrow, and while he's gone, I'm covering for him. Now, the next guest that we have coming up is actually a very topical guest because he has literally written the book on the 332nd Fighter Wing in World War II. For those of you who don't know, that was the Tuskegee Airmen. There's a new movie out called Red Tails, which features the epic, heroic efforts of those Tuskegee Airmen. And we're going to talk not only about his book, but also maybe some of the differences in reality and in fantasy between the movies and what really happened. My next guest is Stan Weisenleiter. He is, as I said, the author of a book on the Tuskegee Scareman. Airman. He was an actuary. Now he is a reserve deputy down in the Los Angeles area and a man who has both a passion for history and a passion for World War II. Welcome to the show, Stan. How are you today?
Thank you. How are you doing?
Well, I'm terrific. Thanks for being our guest here on the show. And as
My
I said
pleasure.
In the setup, this couldn't be more topical. Red Tails, the movie about the Tuskegee Airmen, is just out in theaters now, and it really depicts or fictionalizes the exploits of the Tuskegee Airmen. But let's take a step backwards. For people who maybe don't know about the 332nd Fighter Wing of the United States Army Air Force at that time during World War II, tell us about the Tuskegee Airmen. What made them so interesting? What made them so exceptional in our armed forces during World War II?
Well, they didn't win the war, I have to tell you that. They did whatever any other fighting group did, except they had to overcome unusual odds because they had to fight two air forces. They were not only fighting the Luftwaffe, but they had to fight their own U.S. Army Air Corps, where they were getting prejudice like you can't imagine, even after achieving victories. And the strangest thing about their entire story, they did not receive prejudice or segregation from the enemy when they were shot down and captured, or from the Allies. They received that horrible treatment only from their own troops, their own American armed forces. Gradually, they would be accepted for long-range bomber escort because the bomber pilots, who were all white, realized that the Red Tails or the Tuskegee pilots would not leave them in chase of a German plane hoping to get a victory. They stayed by their sides the entire trip to and from the target. And after the war, when they came back to the U.S. with all of their medals and ribbons and everything else, it was still get to the back of the bus, boy. That's how it was.
Exactly.
It's really a shame. And it wasn't until 1948 when Harry Truman issued an order to desegregate or integrate all of the armed forces that things slowly began to change.
Without a doubt. It was a dark period, and no pun intended, a dark period in U.S. history with the prejudice that they endured. The Red Tails, the Tuskegee Airmen themselves, came into the war rather late, though, when they entered the European theater. They were towards the tail end of the war, 1944, 1945, when the U.S. and the Allies actually had control and dominance in the air. Not to diminish any of their contributions, but
familiar how they really got into battle. They went overseas in April of 1943. They had a first victory in July of 43, but everybody, they were kept to the back, okay? They were kept out of harm's way. Nobody wanted to give them a chance. And it wasn't until January of 1944 when the American troops were getting clobbered on the beach of Anzio that every available Air Corps unit in the Mediterranean was called in to help. They also called in the 99th Fighter Squadron. And those guys, in 1 week, shot down 17 German planes, had a few probables, and damaged a few others. And that gave them the recognition that they needed to get other assignments. And from there, it was not quite uphill as it was. They still had to put up with a lot of prejudice, but they were able to do the job after that incident or breaking out or introduction or debut at Anzio.
My guest is Stan Weisleder, author of the book about the Tuskegee Airmen during World War II. And Stan, explain how the Tuskegee Airmen came to be called the Tuskegee Airmen. I think it's a fun story behind that.
Well, they graduated from Tuskegee Army Airfield, which was an adjunct to Tuskegee University or Tuskegee Institute in Tuskegee, Alabama. That's the base where they were sent to be trained. It was a segregated base in the middle of the Deep South. It was so deep in the South, when these guys had time off for a weekend, there was really no place to go. Mm-hmm. You know, right in the middle of Alabama, you know, try to imagine what it was like between 42 through 45. Not fun. If you, you know, it was the same old story. If you're white, all right. If you're brown, hang around. If you're black, stand back.
I had not heard that before, Stan. What an amusing little anecdote. I hadn't heard that. That was the saying of the time, was it?
At that time and for a lot of years after that.
I see. All right.
Now, if you see a black fighter pilot in the movies, you don't give it a second thought.
Well, that's so very true. I mean, you think about Independence Day starring Will Smith as the lead character there. Nobody gives that a second thought. So Tuskegee Airmen coming out of Tuskegee, Alabama, and then they went to war in the European theater, helping to support our bombers on long-range bombing missions that are over there. Talk to us about some of the accomplishments of the Tuskegee Airmen, because they racked up a very impressive record as fighters for the United States.
Well, they shut down, if my summarizations are correct, because I have six rolls of microfilm that I was able to get from the Air Force, which gave me their day-to-day operational reports. They destroyed or damaged 136 German aircraft in aerial combat and destroyed or damaged another 273 on the ground. So that, to me, was fairly impressive for a bunch of guys that were pushed to the back and not even given the opportunity to get out there and shoot down Germans.
It's a very impressive record for anybody, and we're talking to Stan Weisleder. So, Stan, there's a movie out now. It's called Red Tails. It is about the Tuskegee Airmen. It is in some part history, some part fiction, and I think takes liberties with the accomplishments of these men and fictionalizes it in order to sell the movies. Talk to us about the differences between the actual movie itself and reality for these Tuskegee Airmen.
Well, first of all, you have to commend George Lucas for taking the risk. He put up his own money, $58 million, his money, not investors or stockholders, his own bank account. So I give the guy credit for that. But I think he could have had a better storyline. I think if he would have used A Killer of Lions, he'd have a major hit on his hands. The story that he used was a bit hokey, I thought. But at the very beginning, there was a catch-all disclaimer. It said, inspired by true events. So that kind of covers a multitude of sins. I would say that the main problem I have with the movie is that it had some technical inaccuracies, which the average moviegoer would not even notice or even know about. But to me, you know, that's not right. Or, who, that's not right. That's wrong. Things like that. The storyline, it was okay. Wasn't great. It was better than nothing, but I would have liked to have seen a better portrayal of these guys and what they did on the screen for millions and millions of people to see. So many people could read a book, but when you put something in the movies, you know, you're hoping to reach hundreds of millions. So you really have to put your best foot forward, and I don't think that he did.
We're talking to Stan Weisleder, author of the book A Killer of Lions, about the Tuskegee Airmen. Stan, you mentioned some of the historical inaccuracies and technical inaccuracies. That's the sort of thing that bothers you. That's the sort of thing that bothers me when I go to see a movie like The Red Tails. What were some of the inaccuracies that you noted in the movie, and why were they important?
Okay, there were three. Number one, at that time, American planes had, as an adjunct to the star on the fuselage or wing, two bars, two white bars, one to the right and one to the left. Some planes had it and some didn't have it. To me, that's a no-no. Also, they had one of their black pilots escaping from a German prison camp and making his way back. That never happened. There were 12 guys that were shot down and interned until the end of the war. There were two others that were shot down and formed up with the Greek, one with the Greek and the other one with the Yugoslav partisans, where they spent some time until they were returned to their own units. And the third thing, at the end, they show the P-51s dogfighting with the ME-262. That's impossible. The ME-262 was 125 miles an hour faster than the P-51D. There's no way you could dogfight with that jet. You can't even see it at that speed. It'll pass you by before you even knew what happened. Now, those guys did shoot down three ME-262s, but not in dogfights. The only way any American pilot was able to down an ME-262 was to catch it when it was most vulnerable, on takeoff or on landing. But once up in the air at 40,000 feet, you couldn't touch that plane.
All right. Well, those are some of the technical inaccuracies in the movie. They are very technical, by the way. But an important point that you make about the Messerschmitt 262, which was the first operational combat jet ever introduced, and it was introduced by the Germans during World War II, the P-51D was by far and away the most advanced fighter that the United States had at that particular time.
It was
by far and away, and remains one of the most beautiful and revered airplanes of this day. However, I agree with you that the ME-262 was vulnerable on takeoff, on landing. In air-to-air combat, however, there are stories of not the Tuskegee Airmen, but pilots going up against the ME-262 and inflicting damage, never downing a plane. How would tactics...
possible. I don't know about that. I don't have the time to research the records of every unit. It's a monumental task.
Fair enough. All right. My guest is Stan Weisleder. He's the author of a book, A Killer of Lions. Interesting title for your book. How did you come up with the title, A Killer of Lions, for the Tuskegee Airmen?
My main character, who is largely based on Lee Archer, is really a composite of about four or five guys. Okay, so let me say that. But I have my main character, while in high school, being taunted by white students saying, "Who are you? Where do you come from?" And his response is, referring back to his African ancestry, "My ancestors were killers of lions." So that's what they did. You know, that's what people in Africa did who lived in the bush. They killed lions to stay alive. So that's where I got that title from.
It is a great title. Stan, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, A Killer of Lions?
A story about what these guys did and what they put up with. You know, and I must say, there are a number of textbooks and historical accounts around, and they're pretty good, but they don't cover everything, and they don't tell a story that a reader likes to read and get into when you talk about the loves, and you know, you always have to have a love interest, real or otherwise, and there were real ones. And if we had time, I could tell you some of the stories that Lee Archer conveyed to me when I was interviewing him over the years. You're probably going to tell me my time is up if I start going into those stories.
Well, I'm afraid we don't have time this go-round, but on a future go-round, we'll definitely get into that. This is obviously a very moving story for you. You're impassioned by this. What did you get out of writing the book, Stan?
Satisfaction. And even if no one else felt the same way that I did, it gave me personally great satisfaction that I finished a project which honors these guys.
No, it is great. It is a very honorable book. And I've been talking to the author, Stan Weisleder, author of the book, A Killer of Lions, about the Tuskegee Airmen. Stan, if you've piqued the interest of some of my listeners and they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
I am very Googleable. There's so much stuff about me. You can Google. It'll have about my next book, which is called The Easy Way. It'll have about my last book called The Trees, which is the saga of Las Vegas. In fact, it's not about Las Vegas. It is Las Vegas. It covers a span of 50 years, starting out in the slums of Brooklyn and making it to Vegas by the mid-60s. in time for all of the changes taking place with the mob, Howard Hughes, and corporate America.
All right, and all of that is found on Google. Just Google the name Stan Weisleder. Stan, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my guest here on
Pleasure.
The Business of Life. We'll talk to you later.